Amen. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for that truth that when we belong to you through Jesus Christ, the Son, Father, we are your children. We are sons and daughters. You give us the spirit of adoption, and we can call you Father. And Lord, now as we take some time to turn to your word, help us to rest in that truth. Help us to trust in you, to hear what you have to say, and to obey. Father, I ask, as I always do when we come to this time, that you would open our eyes so that we might see wonderful things from your word. Open our ears by the Spirit. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to transform our hearts, to cut away everything that's dark and dead, and to grow in us light and life for your glory. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, hello. Good to see you. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 37, and we're going to read down to the end of the chapter there, verse 49. If you don't have a Bible with you, I want to draw your attention to the one that should be under the chair, one of the chairs there in front of you. If you want to just grab it and find Luke chapter 6, you can use the table of contents if you need. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. And we have been walking through the Gospel of Luke together. And today we're going to finish up chapter 6. I'm glad to be back. I missed you last week. We had a great time visiting family in Alabama. It's always good to get away and see all of our folks there. But I'm always eager and happy to be back. I love you. I miss you when I'm not here. And I'm always thankful for the time that we can spend together in the Word of God. All right. For the last couple of weeks, we've been learning from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, what Luke calls the level place here in Luke chapter 6. And Luke gives us the content of Jesus' teaching and records this for us so that we can hear what Jesus has to say and we can obey, we can listen to Jesus and know him. Now, if you've paid attention over the last couple of weeks, you've been here, you know that Jesus' teaching is countercultural. It's counterintuitive. It's upside down from the way that we normally think to live. And that's on purpose. It's this revolutionary new way of life that Jesus is giving to us. And it is upside down and different from the sinful way, the humanly way, the worldly way that we know how to live or we feel comfortable living. But Jesus tells us that this new way that he opens up to us is the true way of God. It is the Jesus-y way to live. And this Jesus-y way is a different way of seeing the world. And so when you see the world the way that Jesus wants you to see it, then you're going to see blessing in things like poverty. You're going to see blessing in things like hunger and weeping and experiencing hatred because of Jesus. You're going to see blessing in those things. But you're going to be wary of things like riches and fullness and laughter and popularity and being spoken well of because you know that those things can actually distance you from God if you're not careful. Last week, Pastor Matt showed us that we must love our enemies, Jesus says. We must treat others the way that we want to be treated, not treat others the way that they've treated us. That's what we like to do. But we must treat others the way that we would like to be treated and the way that Jesus teaches us to be treated. And this is how you can be a son of the Most High. You want to be a son or daughter of God, we must be merciful. We must be kind because our Father is merciful and he's kind to those who are ungrateful and evil. So today we're going to finish up this sermon. And as Jesus finishes the sermon, he continues to challenge us to live in this new upside-down way. But Jesus is going to land the plane, so to speak, with an ultimatum. The ultimatum is this: there are only two ways to live. There are two ways to live. You are living in one of these two ways. There is the blind way, and there is the seeing way. There are bad teachers, and there's a good teacher. There are bad foundations, and there's a good foundation. There's an evil way, and there's a good way. There are only two ways. Which will you choose? Which have you chosen? Which way are you walking now? This is an important question for every single person in this room. Which way will you choose? So, let's see what Jesus has to say, and I hope you're there with me in Luke 6. We're going to, again, begin in verse 37, and I would ask one more time, if you're physically able, if you will stand with me as we read from the Bible together. This is God's Word. We stand as we read it together. Luke chapter 6, verses 37. We'll read to the end of the chapter. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So Jesus says this to us. There are only two ways to follow. Only two ways to go. And the way that you choose has eternal consequences. So we ought to follow Jesus. There are only two ways to go. Two ways to choose, and the way that you choose is an important decision. It has eternal consequences. So, follow Jesus. Now, as we walk through this passage together, I need you to listen to this clearly. We got 4 points today, okay? So, don't start putting your stuff up at point three. We're only halfway through, all right? Got 4 points today, so... As we walk through this together, let's think about this. Jesus says, you will get what you give. You will get what you give. So in verses 37 and 38, Jesus gives these rapid-fire commands. And two of them are do-nots, and two of them are do's, okay? So he says, judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. Now, Jesus is not telling us to never make a moral judgment or a moral evaluation or a moral discernment. That's often how we think of this passage sometimes when we think about it wrongly. We'll look at this passage and we'll say, okay, so no matter what I do or no matter what anybody else does, never make a moral discernment about that. Never make a moral evaluation or a judgment about that. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying because... In this very same passage, we'll see here in just a minute, Jesus actually tells us to make moral discernment. He tells us to make moral evaluations and encourages us to do that. We'll get to that in just a minute. So instead, I think Jesus is unpacking clearly what he just said before this, which Pastor Matt went over last week. And if you want to look there again in verses 35 and 36, he says, love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return. And he says, you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind and ungrateful to the, to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So Jesus says, be sons of the Most High. Well, how? Well, you must be kind to the ungrateful and evil. You must be merciful. And so 37 and 38 just continues to help us think on what it means to be kind and merciful. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. Give. Don't have a critical spirit or a judgmental, cynical, nitpicky posture. Don't live your life that way as you're living it with brothers and sisters and those around you. So Jesus' main point is really in that last line in verse 38. And anytime you're reading the Bible and you see the word for, which appears a couple of times in this passage, that's usually the point. So Jesus has said all this stuff and he says, for, here's the reason, here's the point, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So the measure that you use is the measure that you're going to get. This is the point that Jesus is really highlighting here in these two verses. How you treat others is how you will be treated. Not only by those other folks, but also how you will be treated by God. This is really the big deal that Jesus is exposing. He's really just stating the golden rule again, but he's saying it in a different way. So you look up again at chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus says, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. So treat others as you would have them treat you. This is really the same thing said a different way. The measure that you use is the measure that will be used back or given back to you. So we've said this several times, and we're going to say it again. God cares about how you treat other people. It's a big deal. It's not something that he takes lightly. He cares about how you treat Christians, and he cares about how you treat non-Christians. He doesn't take these things as small. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage or passages like this, I usually think, you know, does what I do really make a difference with how God treats me? Like, do my actions really impact or affect what God does? So, isn't God in charge? Isn't God the one who calls the shots? So, the way that I'm treating other people, does that really impact what God decides to do or not do? And sometimes it's hard for me to think that that's the way that it is. I mean, isn't God going to do what he's going to do, right? He's kind of free to be God and does what he does without, apart from what human beings do. And that certainly is true. But there are a lot of verses like this in the Bible. A lot of verses that say that God takes seriously how you treat others, and you should expect that that is the treatment that God will give back to you. And one of them that is most convicting for me is actually in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and if you know your Bible, you'll know that this is at the end of the Lord's Prayer. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he says this little line about forgiving. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So God wants you to know that how you treat others actually reveals your relationship with God. How you treat other people actually reveals where you stand with God, and you should have every expectation that God will treat you with the same treatment that you've given to others. Yes, God is free to do whatever he wants to do, but he's telling us that this is how he factors things into his equations. So we ought not look past this. And when God gives the treatment back, Luke says, Jesus says that he gives it in full measure. Verse 38 there, it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Now, I used to, one of my jobs when I was in high school, I worked at a place that sold feed and seed. We would sell those kinds of things to farmers and folks that would come in, had animals and livestock and stuff like that. And when we would measure out seed to sell or measure out feed to sell, there was a certain weight that they wanted, and we would pour a little seed in the bag, then you shake it to get everything to the bottom, remove all the spaces, you pour a little bit more, you might push down on it, press down on it. That way you could really fill up the bag to the brim. And so Jesus is saying God's going to give it back to you that way, as full as it can be and even overflowing. It'll be running over. Now, we love this concept when it comes to giving, right? Give, and God's going to give back to you. And he's going to give good measure, shaken, pressed down, running over. Bless God, I'm going to give, and God's going to give back to me. But now I want you to see. I think this is crystal clear that God is applying that to all four of these. So the judgment that you levy out that's wrongful, the condemnation that you levy out will also be returned good measure, shaken, pressed down, running over. And so too the forgiveness that you give and the giving that you do, yes, you expect a running over blessing from God in those situations. So the point is this. I really can't judge anyone. Neither can you. I really can't condemn. I mean, I can make some judgments and I can make some condemnations, but in the eternal scheme of things, it's meaningless. It has no power whatsoever. God does what he's going to do. So my judgments and my condemnations don't really matter. They have no impact. And so it's meaningless for me to parade about with judgments that come from me, my own judgments. And so I should always do this, and I want you to write this down if you are a note taker. Point others to the judgments of Jesus and his warnings of condemnation with overflowing mercy, overwhelming mercy and kindness. I'm going to point others to the judgments of Jesus. Those are the judgments that really matter. I'm pointing people to the condemnations, the warning of condemnation that Jesus gives. That's what really matters. That's what God has told us that he is going to do. And I'm going to do it with overwhelming mercy and kindness. And so when I interact with people, I want to look at them and say, look, man, in this big scheme of things, my judgments don't matter. What I think doesn't really matter. I want you to think about what Jesus thinks. Jesus is pretty clear about what he says. Jesus offers some warnings that are terrifying. I want you to take those seriously. So let me sit down with you. Let me walk with you. Let's work through what Jesus has to say. I want to point you to Jesus and his judgments. I want to proclaim the things that Jesus says. I want to proclaim even the judgments and the warnings that Jesus gives. But even when I do that, I must do it with mercy and kindness, and gentleness, and grace, because I remember the mercy and the kindness and the gentleness and the grace that God has given to me. And I always want God to give me that same measure of mercy and kindness and gentleness and grace. And so that's what I want to extend to others. And with that, I'm going to be abundantly forgiving. I'm going to fight any sort of bitterness. And I'm going to be surprisingly generous and surprisingly giving so that I can be like Jesus. Because I will get the measure that I give. And Jesus wants me to live my life not forgetting that. So because you get the measure that you give, then secondly, Jesus says, be careful who you follow. Be careful who you follow. I love when Jesus gives illustrations. because I don't think I'm very good at illustrations as a preacher. Jesus was really good at illustrations. He gave great illustrations. And thankfully, there are lots of pictures for us to think through as we walk through this passage together. And in verse 39, you notice he talks about the blind man leading the blind man. What happens when a blind man leads another blind man? Well, obviously, they both fall into the pit. It doesn't go well. They stagger, they journey, they can't help each other, and that's going to end up badly. And so Jesus comes off of that in verse 40, and he says, everybody has a teacher. Everyone follows someone. Everyone serves somebody. There's something or someone in your life that gives you guidance and direction, a teacher that you would follow, someone that you would see as important to serve or to guide you. And so, since everyone has a teacher and everyone has a guide that they follow, you better make sure that you're following the right teacher. Make sure that your teacher and your guide is not blind. Because if you follow the blind guide and you're blind, that's going to turn out badly. Make sure that you're following the right teacher, because you will be like your teacher when you are trained up. That's the direction that you're going. You need to pay careful attention to this. So I want us to think about these two questions for the next few minutes. Who do you follow? And who is your teacher? I want you to think carefully about this. Really. Honestly, before God, who do you follow? Who's your teacher? Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Matthew's gospel connects this issue of being a blind guide, this topic of being a blind guide, to the Pharisees. And Jesus calls the Pharisees blind guides. And Luke is not disagreeing with that, but Luke records, I think, the more general way that Jesus taught this principle. In other words, there are many blind guides. Certainly the Pharisees were blind guides and they were leading people astray, but there are other folks that could possibly be blind guides. And I think Jesus is also telling us to look at ourselves. Watch yourself. Make sure that you are not a blind guide that might be leading someone else astray. You're a blind guide that maybe even be leading yourself astray. Maybe your guide and your teacher is yourself, and you're leading yourself in the wrong direction. You better make sure that you are seeing and not blind. There are many blind guides. And so, Jesus helps us understand the life of the blind teacher or the blind guide with the log and the speck. The log and the speck. Now, you probably have heard of this before, even if you have just a little bit of familiarity with the Bible. You've heard this account of the guy that has the log in his eye and the other guy that has the speck in his eye. Now, the log here, it might actually be better translated as plank or beam. But think of like the main beam of a house. In the living room of my house, I know some of you have been there, there's a big main beam that cuts through in between the living room and the kitchen area in my house. And that's what I'm thinking of. Think about a main beam that you would see. And then the speck was probably just a small little piece of sawdust. A small little piece of sawdust. Now, the blind teacher, the blind person, cannot see the tree trunk that is protruding out of his eyeball, but he can really easily see the little fleck of sawdust that's in his brother's eye. This is the picture that Jesus paints for us. Now, obviously, Jesus is talking about sin. He's talking about our sins and our faults and our failures and our weaknesses. And the blind one is arrogant to his own sins. He can't see them. The blind one thinks that he has everything together, but when he looks at his brother, he sees every little bitty fault that his brother or his sister has. And he's always on his brother or sister to fix those faults. But he hardly ever does anything to fix his own because he doesn't feel the need to, because he's blind to what's going on in his own life. Now, obviously, in the context of the passage that we're looking at, this is an example of the sort of judgment and condemnation that Jesus tells us not to do in verse 37, is this log and speck stuff. And these sorts of people, that are blind to their own sins and have logs protruding out of their eyes and they see specks in other people's life, these are the sorts of people that can't really help anyone. They are blind guides. They seem like they offer some direction, but they don't really follow helpful. They don't really offer any helpful direction. Now, in my experience, people like this usually think they are really discerning. They'll say things like, you know, I really, really see things that other people don't see. I'm a pretty discerning sort of person. I can see this. And all the while, they have things in their own life that they never see in themselves. So Jesus is telling us, don't be that way. Don't be that way. And don't follow folks who are that way. Instead, here's what you should do. Be exceedingly humble. Be contrite. Always. I should always have the attitude that I am the biggest sinner I know. Because that is true. I know myself and my sin the best. I'm the biggest sinner that I know. And I want it to be evident that I take my sin seriously. I am transparent and repentant, and I'm open to help, and I'm open to correction, and I have no trouble examining the logs in my own eyes so that I can see clearly the way that I might help others. Jesus uses the word brother here in the passage. You see that? He can't see. He thinks he sees his brother's sin, but he doesn't see himself rightly. And I think Jesus uses the word brother here because he wants us to think about Christians and disciples. He wants us to think about how this plays out in the church. And sadly, unfortunately, this can be a problem in the church. It can be a problem among brothers and sisters. A problem that we ought to always take seriously. Now, when we are brothers and sisters together in a church, we really do need to help each other in our sins and our weaknesses and our failures. The Bible's clear about that. We're supposed to have accountability and encouragement, admonishment toward one another. We're supposed to find places that we can go to confess things and to have somebody help us see things that maybe we don't clearly see. Jesus is not telling us to not ever do that sort of stuff. All the specks need to be removed and all the logs need to be removed. We all need to get rid of these things in our life so that we can glorify Jesus and continue to follow him and to think about what Jesus wants us to think about and live the life that he wants us to live. But there's a wrong way to do it. There's a way that is fault-finding. There's a way that is arrogant. There's a way that is overly critical and sometimes harsh, that focuses on others a whole lot, but never ever looks at the self. And this is the wrong way to do it. It actually doesn't help. It actually hurts people more than it helps. Now, I just want to say as humbly as I can and give a little confession this morning that God has actually convicted me of this very thing over the last few weeks. I have found in myself a critical spirit, a cynical spirit that is overly fault-finding and particularly directed toward other ministry colleagues in the Louisville area. And I have confessed that to my discipleship guys and some others. And I'm thankful for the Lord's grace in my life. This is what Jesus tells us not to do. Don't be a blind guide. Be careful who you follow. Be careful that you're not blind to your own sins, big sins, and overly nitpicky at the things in your brother's life. Now, the next warning that Jesus gives is actually similar. So thirdly, he says this, you will speak your heart. You will get what you give, so be careful who you follow. And thirdly, you will speak your heart. Now, we often talk about speaking our minds. I'm the kind of person that speaks my mind. You ever said something like that or think something like that? I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to share with you what I think I need to say. I'm going to speak my mind. Now, Jesus says that we ought to think a lot more about how you speak your heart. And chances are, when you're speaking your mind, you're actually probably really speaking your heart. And we ought to think about the things that come out of our mouth that start in the heart. Now, again, Jesus helps us with illustrations. He says there in verse 43 and 44 and 45, he says that good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. And it's not the other way around. Thorn bushes and bramble bushes and thistles and briars and weeds, they're not good for eating, generally speaking. They don't produce good fruit like figs and grapes. So you will know the tree or the plant by the fruit. The fruit is going to reveal the root. Now on the other side, let's just say I buy a bag of apples and I buy some zip ties and I go out to the maple tree in my yard and I zip tie all these apples on the maple tree. Does that make that an apple tree? No. That's just bizarre. It doesn't change the type of tree that that is. You can add and twist tie and zip tie fruit on it all day long, and that doesn't change the type of tree that it is. So Jesus is saying this same thing is true with a human being. The same thing happens with humans on the inside and the outside. Verse 45, he says, the good person has a good treasure in his heart or her heart. So the heart has been transformed, the inside has been renewed and made new, and there's spiritual fruit that comes out, and that's the fruit that comes out that the Spirit bears, and more often than not, that's the good treasure and the good fruit that comes out of the heart of the person that's been transformed, that's a good person. And the evil person, verse 45, they have an evil treasure, he has an evil treasure in his heart or her heart. In other words, they're still mastered by sin. They're still mastered by themselves and their will and their ways. And that's what comes out more often than not. The fruit, Jesus says, usually comes out of our mouth. It comes out in our words and in our thoughts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know that little word for there at the end of verse 45? For, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart overflows out your mouth. So, in this situation, Jesus does want us to have and to make a moral evaluation. We're supposed to make a judgment, a discernment about these things. Jesus tells us to be a fruit inspector, especially when you're looking at teachers and leaders and guides to make sure that those leaders are not blind guides, but they're seeing guides. You ought to inspect the fruit because the fruit will help you know the root. But I think that first and foremost, Jesus wants us to especially inspect the fruit that is in my life. What's going on inside of me and what's coming out of that overflow? Look for the logs in my own eye. So I want us to think about this question. What does your fruit reveal about your root? What does your fruit reveal about your root? When you speak your heart, what overflow comes out? Think about it right now. Think about your words and your thoughts and your actions. Don't leave this place without giving this deep and vital, important thought. When you speak your heart, what comes out? Are you judgy? Are your words judgy? Are they condemning? Are they blind? Are they sinful? Are they critical? Are they fault-finding? Are they arrogant? You know, a lot of times, when our private moments become exposed, or our hidden things become exposed, or maybe something shameful bubbles up in a moment of pressure, you know, we see this a lot with like famous people or like things that go viral, right? Something that is hidden gets exposed and it's embarrassing, it's shameful, or a pressure moment happens and it gets exposed and it's shameful and it's embarrassing. I think about that poor couple that was exposed at the Coldplay concert, you know, and all that came from that, if you remember that. And what happens in those moments? We usually say something like this, you know what, that's not really me. I know that's what happened in that moment. I know that I'm embarrassed by it. That's not really who I am. That doesn't really reflect what I know is in my own character. But I want you to see, we can't miss this. Jesus is actually saying that the opposite is probably true. those hidden things that maybe embarrassingly come out, that may actually be the fruit that's really going on in the root. And those shameful things that come in those pressure moments, that really is probably a better reflection of who you really are and where you really stand with Jesus. So you better pay attention. We all better pay attention. So, do you see the Spirit of God bearing in you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and all the fruit? Do you see God bearing those things? Are they overflowing out of your heart because of the work that Jesus is doing in your life? Do you love the things that Jesus loves? Do you love the things of Jesus? Do you love His Word? Do you love His will? Do you love His ways? Do you love the worship of Jesus? Do you love His people? Do you love His church? Do you like being around the people of God and being with the people of God and being part of the body of Christ? Are you burdened for the lost? Are you broken for those that Jesus tells us to be broken for? If your fruit is bad and your root is bad, it's time to follow Jesus. Now is the time to follow Jesus. So, Jesus says next, since you speak your heart, then lastly, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. The last little passage here, verses 46 to 49, Jesus is shining a spotlight on these two ways. There are only two ways to go, only two paths to follow. There's no in between. And we've seen it reflected throughout the whole passage. There's the blind way. There's the seeing way. There is the hypocrite, judgy way. There's the merciful, golden rule way. There's the good way. There's the evil way. There are blind guides and bad teachers. And I think Jesus is saying there is only one real good teacher. I'm the good teacher. Jesus is the good teacher. And so every other good teacher or any other seeing teacher, if they're a good teacher or a seeing teacher, they're always going to point you to Him. They're going to point you to Jesus. We're always looking at what Jesus says and Jesus wants, trying to get closer to Him and follow Him. And Jesus says here, verse 46, if you call me Lord, Lord, if you really want to follow my lordship, then you must obey what I say. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? If you call me Lord and ignore what I say, or if you call me Lord and you overlook what I say, that feels like it's in between, but there is no in between. So someone on this side would be completely radical and sold out for Jesus and love Jesus and want to do everything that He says. Somebody over here may have complete hatred for Jesus and everything that He is and says. But a lot of times people fall in the middle. You know, I like Jesus and I call Him Lord. Yeah, I think Jesus is the Savior. But I don't do a lot of the things that He says. I'm going to kind of do my own thing. And that feels in between. I'm not all the way over here. I'm not all the way over there. I'm in between. But Jesus says there is no in between. If you call Him Lord, but you overlook what He says, Jesus says, you're really against me. That's the wrong side of me. So Jesus says here, come to me. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. Come to me and follow me. So Jesus says, there's one way over here. This is the Jesus way. The one who comes and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he is like. And of course, Jesus gives us another illustration here. This man is like a man that builds his house on the rock, on a good foundation. He digs down and builds the house on a good foundation. The storm comes, the flash flood comes, the river banks overflow and the water shoots out, and that house is not shaken. It is never shaken. The waters cannot shake it because it's been well built. So Jesus says, you will escape evil and judgment if you belong to me. Nothing will shake you. Nothing will shatter you. You will be secure for all eternity in everything. You will be transformed and forgiven. You are safe. You are safe in me. Because you built your house on my foundation. You hear and you do. The other way Jesus exposes is there in verse 49. He says there's one who hears and does not do, does not listen. And this person is like a man who builds his house without a foundation. And the same flood comes, the storm comes, the flash flood, the waters overflow the banks of the river. And that house, notice there at the end of verse 49, that house falls immediately. Immediately. It doesn't stand a chance. And the fall of it is great. The ruin of that house is great. Now, Jesus says that this is a person who might would say something good about Jesus, but I'm actually going to reject Jesus and ignore what he says. I enjoy what Jesus says, but I really want to do my own things. I really want to focus on myself. I like the evil treasure and the bad fruit that's down here. I like the log in my eye. I like nitpicking the specks in other people's eyes. This is the man who has a bad foundation, and his house falls immediately. And so Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're not safe. You are headed for Jesus' judgments. You are headed for the wrath and the condemnation that he warns about. You may feel safe now, and life may click along okay. But there's an eternal flood coming. And your ruin will be great. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. I want you to think about this. Jesus is giving you one more chance today. Jesus is giving you another chance today. Know what a gracious and kind God that he is. There are only two ways. So think about this. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. Which way have you chosen? Which way are you going? Which way are you walking? Your decision has eternal consequences. Make no mistake about it. Jesus wants you to hear this clearly. You got one more chance today. Jesus is welcoming you again this morning to come and to hear him and to do and to follow and to rest. And believe upon Jesus and Jesus alone. Live this radical, upside down, counterintuitive life. It's worth it. Jesus says, I'm worth it. You will be safe. I will keep you to safe. Today is the day. Don't wait another moment. You're following someone. You're following something. Who is it? Make sure today that you're following the right leader. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to encourage you to just think for a moment about what Jesus says. You know, in a similar way, my words don't really matter. I'm just praying for God's help to unpack the words of Jesus. Which way are you going? What teacher are you following? What guide is guiding you? There's no in between. It's time to get honest with yourself and honest with God. Maybe this morning you realize that you're not a Christian. There's evil treasure in your heart. You see evil fruit that comes out. You've been the blind guide that's been leading yourself astray again and again and again. You've built your house on a bad foundation, but Jesus has opened your eyes and your heart today. And he's calling you to come and to repent, to believe, to hear and to do and to follow. And I am encouraging you, pleading with you to follow Jesus. You've got one more chance. Today's the day. The Bible says you can do that right where you're sitting. You can call upon Jesus right where you're sitting. Just say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need you. I believe what you say. I believe who you are. Jesus, save me. I want to turn from my sins and my sinfulness. I want to give my life to you. Won't you put that good treasure in my heart, Jesus? Won't you change my root? Transform me and make me new. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. The Bible says if you confess with your heart, your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. We also have some other ways that you can respond, and I would encourage you to do that. If you'd like to talk with someone more about Jesus, or if you want to make a decision for Christ, you can actually do that with your phone. You can take your phone out right now and text the word Jesus to the number that's on the screen, 833-602-8204. If you will just text the word Jesus to that number, someone will follow up with you later. And also, we're going to sing one more song here in a moment. And as we're singing that song together, Pastor Matt is going to be waiting in the foyer. He's going to be standing by the big map of the world. You can't miss it. Can't miss him.